This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another lovely little snippet, as I called it last time, crumpet of Telly and T. Of course, I am Miranda, and my wonderful co-host that I used to say was from across the pond, now we're both kind of across the pond, Ben, how are you doing today?
I am very well, Miranda. Good afternoon to you. Yes, we're all right. It's you know, we're getting jabbed and we're ready to go out again. It's quite exciting.
I'm not getting jabbed yet or ready to go out again. I am ready to go out again. Oh. We're not allowed to yet, but you know, it's coming. I hope.
Yeah. Right. I think we're over half of the population now have had the first jab. That, you know, it's going nicely, I think, is the phrase.
Good. Hopefully, we will know when that will take place for me. And it's hard to imagine that this whole thing that is making us get jabbed is the reason why this podcast actually came to be. I just thought of that.
That's like, quite deep. That's quite deep.
It is quite deep. But that is actually the reason why you and I became friends or met each other and became friends. And this podcast was birthed.
Yes.
So, wow. Well, happy friendiversary, Ben.
Is it really? Oh my god!
I think it is. Happy friendiversary.
That's wowzers.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of mental when you think about things like that. Like, you know, I wouldn't be staying up as late if it wasn't for good.
Right. And we probably wouldn't have been so excited for this show that we're gonna give you guys a pod blast crumpet of information about either, I think, because
I would definitely agree with that. I think that was part of the thing, was the fact that everybody was basically inside and we all wanted things to watch.
Exactly. And we were kind of running out of things to watch at this point. And as you and I talked about privately, just like between each other, it made you like have something to look forward to as well.
Definitely.
So we kind of told you guys last time that we would be giving you our take on WandaVision, which is why we are gathered here today. We're going to give you a quick rundown, our thoughts and discussion on WandaVision. And what is really cool is that we both come from different sides of the fence when it comes to comic-related movies and characters. And why is that we come from like a little different viewpoint?
Well, I think so. Basically, I think I sort of alluded and made a little joke on the last pod about the fact that obviously a lot of people on Place to Be Nation are comic book fans, and you know, I believe I use the phrase comic book nerds, but only in jest, Miranda. You know that.
Oh, we will accept it.
But so I know there's a lot of people who know, like, you know, the in depth kind of. So there's obviously a pod here on the Pop Experience with Andy and the boys, Pop Goes to the Couch, and a lot of them, you know all the comics and all the in-depth and the Easter eggs and all that kind of thing. My point, my view is, I'm nearly 40 now. I have not read a comic since I was about 15, I would say. But I have watched all the MCU films, and I am hooked in and dialed in. So I came from it from, they are really, if I'm allowed to swear, they are really fucking cool. And I wanted to dive right into this because, you know, it's MCU and I'm there, basically.
Awesome. As most of you know, if you've been listening to Place to Be Nation or Place to Be Experience, we have adapted our name a little over the years. Or if you've listened to any of Geek and Sassy, which is now over on the Ginny position, I actually do have a comics background, maybe not as in-depth as some of the other guys, but I've been reading comics for a very, very long time. There's actually an episode there where Ginny and I discuss when we first started reading comics, and mine goes all the way back to actually like pretending I didn't read comics when I was in high school. I used to not tell people.
Comics, you say?
Yeah, I used to not tell people that I read comics, and I can actually remember what my first comic is. And so it is something that I actually knew a few more things, or I caught on to a few more things, not necessarily then Ben did, because it's not like I'm smarter than thing. It's just like you sometimes retain that, and hence, since he hasn't read a comic in a really long time, you didn't really remember some of the little Easter eggs and things. And there are actually things I did not even catch. I was listening to our friends, which is a fantastic podcast that we already have, as Ben said, on the feed. And there were some things I was like, oh, yeah, that did take place, didn't it? Or that did pop up, and I didn't even notice it. And there were things that my husband caught on to that I didn't either. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was definitely the thing for me. So when I watched, obviously, you watched each episode individually, and you're like, holy beep!
That, right.
This is amazing. And then when the boys, like, break it down on Pop Goes to the Couch, you're like, oh, yeah. Because they're going into all the minutiae and everything about it, which I don't do. I just like all the action. I'm like, this is really cool.
It is. It's fantastic. Even if you have, like, no comics knowledge, it's an excellent series. My son, who does read comics, but he loved it. I wasn't sure if he was going to love it. And to like get into it and go ahead and kind of break it down and talk about it. I wasn't sure if he was going to love it because episode one, I was hearing a lot of people come back and be like, what is going on? The really cool thing is, so WandaVision, if you haven't watched it yet, it obviously is a television miniseries that was created for the streaming service Disney Plus. It is obviously based on the Marvel comic characters, Wanda Maximoff, who we refer to as Scarlet Witch, and her counterpart Vision, her main squeeze there, if you will. It does bring in some other people that we have seen as part of the MCU world as well, but they are your main characters. And when it was released weekly, and that's what Ben and I were talking about. It gave you something to look forward to because they dropped episodes weekly starting with January 15th of this year. And on January 15th, they surprised a lot of people when they logged into Disney Plus, and we had two episodes. Episode one's entitled Film Before a Live Studio Audience. And this one is very different and starts out kind of odd. And I had a lot of people coming to me being like, what is going on? And I thought that my son would not be interested in it because of that. And we finished episode one and he immediately was like, more. So thankfully, they also gave us episode two, which we'll kind of talk about together. And that one is called Don't Touch That Dial. So you're already starting to see a theme if you're a television watcher. Obviously, those are things that are said, especially in old television. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Or, this is filmed before a live studio audience. And those are both two things you don't hear anymore, but are very on brand for old television shows. So going into this first one, Ben, obviously it's black and white. We're looking at Wanda and Vision as like a newlywed couple moving to their new hometown. So how did you feel when you watched this first episode and where did you think you knew what was going on, or were you confused?
Okay. I thought what was going to happen was it was going to be like, I always thought it was going to be just a pure comedy. It was going to be going through the decades, if you will. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, but Vision is dead. He's quite clearly very dead. So there's going to be some sort of dark undercurrent going on here. And
like you say,
for the first sort of 20 minutes of that first episode, you're sort of going along at sort of a snail's pace, like a 60s comedy, aren't you? And then you get to that dining room scene and you're like, okay, there's something else going on here. Quite clearly, this is something more than just, going through every sitcom trope available.
Exactly. And it's like, there's something more going on here, but what is it?
Yes, exactly.
And that's when the theories immediately started with various groups of people. From episode one, theories were popping out everywhere. And I was trying not to read them, but then I really got sucked into them as well.
you get down that rabbit hole after a while. I think I did the same thing, to be honest, after a couple of episodes. I was like, don't go on Twitter, just don't do it. And then you just end up happening. It's like, no.
Exactly. So if you're into checking out what the theories are, there were a lot to check out. And you can kind of still see them everywhere. Places all over the web were giving their thoughts and opinions. I thought it was really cool, and it took me a while to realize this, but like these sets that we're looking at are actually sets from very famous television shows, which we don't learn until much later. But it's kind of just, it's not a big spoiler or anything. And by the way, if anybody is sitting there screaming, "What? Benji's dead! You ruined it!" That happened several years ago, and
Yeah, happened in like the second Avengers film.
So, I don't consider that a spoiler. Also, if you're listening to a show about WandaVision, you can kind of expect to be spoiled. If you haven't seen the show, you probably might want to wait to listen to this. But it's really funny. So that we actually see, or because you were saying you kind of expected it to continue through the tropes and go there, and maybe it was just going to be like a lighthearted, recreation of some of those old shows, Bewitched, Dick Van Dyke, things of that nature. But I think we realize something is not quite right when Mr. Hart, who is Vision's boss, starts to choke. And that's where things kind of change, because then our episode ends and we realize that someone is actually watching WandaVision. Someone is watching this television show.
Obviously that the there's no real there's no end credit scene until the last couple of episodes, is there? But like you say, that very last scene then suddenly goes to color, so it changes from that 1960s like I Love Lucy style show very quickly to, like you say, a blurred image of somebody watching the TV. And so you realize that you're watching somebody watching the show. It's like there's a show within a show going on, and you pick up on that aspect quite quickly.
Very meta. And it's kind of interesting. And I honestly was like, when it ended and that happened, I was like, wait, that's it? So we watched all the way through the credits and nothing happened. And I was very shocked.
It was that thing, because you see the runtime, and I can't remember the exact runtime, but it's like it's less than half an hour, isn't it? It's like about 28 minutes or something, and then the episode's basically over in 21, 22, because there's like a 6 minute credit scene.
Oh, the credits are.
It's like, what? I want more, damn it.
Exactly. And I think that's why it was really good that they went ahead and released both of them at the same time, because that's how I felt. And that's how my husband and son felt. We actually waited. I think there were four episodes out when we started watching it. We kind of did that on purpose. But what's really cool is they have commercials that
Yeah,
are
the commercials are
during.
insane.
The commercial's really cool. And if you pay attention, there's a lot of Easter eggs in the commercials more than the show that you were watching. Our first one is a advertisement for a Stark Industries Toastmate 2000 toaster oven.
So obviously some of the adverts, I knew the references, like obviously Stark, and later on Hydra get mentioned. So
Oh, for
I
sure.
was I I you know I was I, I'm not that much of a I'm not that much of a Luddite that I don't know who those people are, but and like you say, like those were, so instead of me just thinking, oh, these are really cool, they're obviously tying into the MCU, that a lot of people were like, holy beat, that's whoever, and I'm like, okay, we'll see how it plays out, sort of thing.
Exactly. So we kind of move forward into Don't Touch That Dial. So now we now know that there's some weird meta thing going on. There is more. Like Ben said, he thought, okay, at some point there is more. And that's when you realize, when you see the other person watching the show, that there is somebody, there's something a little bit more going on. Sinister, maybe. On purpose, most likely, but who's doing it? Why are they doing it? My husband immediately went with his theory of what he thought was going on. I think about mid episode two, he's like, "Oh, I get it." Blah blah blah. Turns out he was partly right. His theory was that Wanda had lost it and that she's in this dream state because she doesn't want to face reality.
I sort of went down that hole about sort of episode two or three. I was like, yeah, she's can I got to the theory of she's controlling things, but is somebody controlling her? That's what that was my that was my theory going in, but I wasn't sure who the other person was.
Same. I was very confused on that. So on episode two, they have this really cute thing where they'd have to do a magic act for a talent show. And this is where more theories really started popping in, because this committee led by Dottie, there's a lot of theory that she was going to be someone important.
I mean, the fact she's also, you know, the fact she's obviously played by Emma Caulfield. So, you know, if you know her from the Buffyverse, then, right. You know how good she is. And yeah, so I thought she was going to be someone. And then obviously, you know, you've got Catherine Hahn in the background, and you never, you know, she always goes on about Ralph and her husband Ralph, and you never see Ralph. And so that was the big theory, wasn't it? That Ralph was the, you know, and the one I kept hearing was Ralph was Mephisto was going to be in this. This is how they were going to introduce him,
right?
And I was like, are they going to do that on a, and, you know, no disrespect. I was like, are they going to do that on a TV show? I don't think so. I think they're going to leave that for the movies.
Right. But they gave you a lot of snippets, a lot of things like Emma playing Dottie and Catherine Hahn in there where you're trying to figure it out because you know someone is important. So they gave people that, you know, somebody's important, but you don't know who. And you're like, there's no way that they're going to make all these people important. Yeah, and so it's like a puzzle that you're trying to figure out while you're watching this actually really entertaining thing.
Yeah, because obviously, and then obviously you've also got like Tana Pyris as well, you know, Gwendolyn as she was at this point, you know, so she's obviously like treated as a main character in both, a main supporting character in both episodes. So you think, she's going to be somebody as well.
Right.
But who?
Exactly. But who? So we're noticing some really strange things now at this point. We're still watching in black and white. We have changed decades.
Yes.
We've moved decades.
And I would say as well, my personal favorite of the intros, this one, the Bewitched intro.
Yes. That one was really good. I like that.
To be fair, they were all really good, but this one was probably my favorite one of the lot.
I could probably agree with that. I have one that I liked a whole lot. It's not a show I liked a whole lot, and we get further in. I didn't care for the show that they mimicked a whole lot, but I liked the intro here in a few episodes. But strange things are starting to happen, because obviously Bewitched was a show that went black and white and then color, but most of these shows so far have been black and white, and that's where we've stayed. But now we are noticing things coming in color. Like we have a yellow and red toy helicopter in their black and white world. Voice on the radio is actually speaking to her. The blood stain on the napkin is red. So there's pops of color. And this is really making both the viewer and Wanda confused and trying to put everything together. So it's like you're watching her put together this puzzle of why these things are happening, which is why Ben, I feel like, I'm not like speaking for you, but I feel like maybe that's why you thought someone else was controlling her, because she was also so confused by the things going on.
And also, if you notice, the items in color, there was like interference around it.
Yes.
Like an old 70s TV aerial, you know, like when you got a fuzzy picture on the thing. So right. I think that's where the confusion, where she was like, This shouldn't be here. What's going on? Sort of thing.
Exactly. So in this one, a big change happens for us. They get through the talent show and all of the hilarity that ensues with that. She gets them through all of the issues, and they come home and they're just happy to be home quietly together. And Wanda visibly becomes very pregnant.
If only it was that easy, eh?
Right? I think it would be easier to just like be almost 9 months pregnant immediately and then just give birth and be like, I'm done. But then again, I worry about your internals. Oh. This is when we now see a strange beekeeper emerging from a manhole in the street, and she kind of resents this. And that's when you realize she has some realization of what is going on here and some cognizance, but you're still wondering to what level.
Yeah, because it's like there's a helicopter, there's the beekeeper, so you know there's all these little events happening now, and you can see her brain sort of whirring and ticking, but it's almost like she wants to like brush it off in a respect.
Yeah. Almost like she'd like push it back and pretend it wasn't there.
Just ignore it. Put it under the carpet and, you know, they'll go away sort of thing.
Exactly. So we're moving on forward. Again, we've talked about how we're moving through the decades and we're moving through the shows of the decades. So suddenly our setting changes to full color, Wanda, Vision, everything. And we're in the 1970s. And episode 3 starts and it is called Now in Color. Again, I am loving the titles of these episodes because they're all things that like would have been said on television in the past.
Yeah.
And so this one you had to wait for. So the first two we got to watch back to back. And episode 3 you had to wait a week later for. And we're in this 1970s setting and we kind of open up. And apparently she's only like 4 or 5 months pregnant. She looks way more pregnant than that, but, you know, whatever. And they're basically discussing the pregnancy and how everything is fine. So moving into this next one and seeing kind of like, wait, she's pregnant. We're in color. There's things that are popping up that aren't supposed to. Where was your mindset in this? Like, how were you kind of going?
So my mind, like I said, so I didn't know she ever got pregnant. I didn't know she had twins. I didn't know any of that. I was almost waiting for the other shoe to drop. We know Gwendolyn's something. We know, you know, Agnes is something, you know, she keeps going on about Ralph again. And,
right.
You know, Herb's there just being a nosy neighbor. And that bit when he cuts through the wall, I'm like, what the hell's going on here, sort of thing.
It almost does that funny, like, comedy show thing you have, you know, like things that would happen in old comedies where people would just be like, that's Herb, and just laugh it off. But yeah, in reality, yeah, like, if you sliced into somebody's wall, I would imagine... I would not be too happy.
He was almost, I know it's a 70s sitcom thing, but he's always been like Wilson in Home Improvement, you know, the neighbor from over the gate.
Yeah.
But like you say, so you sort of see Herb and Agatha gossiping like outside, and you're like, what are they talking about? We never actually hear what they're talking about.
No, I think at one point you hear something about we can't let her know or we can't stop.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Vision
yeah,
hears
yeah.
that, which we've already had a little incident with that in his office back in earlier episodes where he's like, make her stop. And everybody's like, what is going on?
Yeah, this is the first episode where sort of Vision was getting clued into things, wasn't he? And he was sort of making his own mind up.
Which is, again, strange because we all know Vision is dead. So we're like, how is he?
How is he with us?
Right. How is he being able to, and being not only is it, how is he with us? Because I could see someone being able to totally fake that he was alive, but how is he actually being able to pay attention to all of these things happen? So this whole episode is basically about the pregnancy, and there's a lot of jokes, and the doctor seems oblivious to the fact that she's gone from 4 months to 5 months to 6 months to, like, because the doctor's trying to plan a vacation, correct? Like, he's trying to leave on vacation?
Yeah.
And things
I'm going to say, because he has one of the best lines in the entire show, Rise at the End, and you're like, that's when you sort of clue in that, yeah, this is quite sinister and dark.
We'll and something is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you finish off,
sorry. Oh, no, you're fine. So, but every time he tries to leave on vacation, something keeps happening. That was an indicator to me that something is not quite right, because they keep talking about, I don't think, we've not seen it yet where they're like, I can't leave, but people keep making weird comments like, I haven't heard from so-and-so, or I can't leave and I don't know why, or I can't find this. Things are missing and out of place, and
I can't remember the exact line he uses, but he says something like, well, I keep trying to leave, but you can never leave. It's something like that.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, why can't he go on holiday? Why can't he leave Westview? What's actually going on?
Why wouldn't he be able to leave? This is really strange. Her abilities, of course, she's always had abilities. That's something that we've always known about. That's what makes her Scarlet Witch. But they get really cray-cray when she's pregnant.
Well, it's hormones, darling. Come on, even I know that.
Yeah. So they get super, super crazy, obviously, with the change in her body. But Geraldine arrives to help Wanda, and she ends up delivering beautiful twins, Billy and Tommy. Of course, you know, you've already told about how, you know, Vision catches the gossiping they talk about Geraldine a little, who's just arrived in town, because that's when they actually say something to him about her.
Yes.
And they're trying to lay confusion, I think. If you know, if you've seen the whole series, then you know. I think this is way to lay confusion to the viewer at this point. Let's confuse people as to Geraldine. So this leads up to a conclusion, right? Where, you know, these beautiful boys have arrived. Everything is great. But Vision is starting to really question things. And it causes Wanda to interrogate Geraldine.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, they're sort of interrogating each other, aren't they?
They are, because... You know. I think Geraldine's also confused. I think they're all confused. We're going to use that word a lot because I don't know what else to say. Geraldine's confused. Wanda is also confused, but has some sort of a knowledge of what is going on. And you're right. They are kind of interrogating each other. But what is it that really sets everything like wide open at this point?
Well, at this point, I'd say it was when Geraldine sort of drops a bomb that she knows about Pietro dying and Vision was the one who did it. That's what really
her saying Ultron and Pietro really just kind of make Wanda go, what?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, not Vision. Ultron. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was sort of the real bomb that obviously she knows who Wanda is. And then you get that little scene and they made sure the camera focused on the fact that the sword emblem was there sort of front and center on that brooch on the tops that Wanda notices, and that's when it all kicks off basically.
Pretty much.
I love the fact that and I know it was mentioned on the other pod, and I didn't pick up on it the first time, that when Wanda sends Gwendolyn through the walls, you know, there's actually four walls, and I loved the second time when I saw that, I loved that.
She broke the fourth wall at that point.
Truly broke the fourth wall.
We broke it. And we are now realize that Sword is here to play. our episode ends with her being cast out from the static wall, and she's surrounded by Sword agents, which left a lot of people to think, like, oh, crap, Sword is controlling this? But I guess that was only the beginning of what we really thought. And we come to, still are not having credit scenes, correct?
Yes. As far as I'm aware, unless I missed any, they only came in the last two episodes.
Okay. Yeah, we watched every single one on purpose. And I remember at one point I was like, eventually they're going to have one. And they do. But this
episode was the first real cliffhanger episode, wasn't it? This was the one, like you say, because they were only showing one at a time at this point. You're like, you know, I need to see the next episode now. So that's how my brain was playing.
Yeah. And so episode four is properly titled, We Interrupt This Program, because in this episode we interrupt Wanda and Vision's program, and we do not have a commercial during WandaVision, as we have before for Hydra Soak and the Strucker Watches and Stark Industries. There is no commercial in episode four, and I think that's because now we are in the quote-unquote real world where we realize who Geraldine actually is. And she is one Captain Monica Rambeau. She is an agent of S.W.O.R.D. Her mother actually founded S.W.O.R.D. And if you know anything about the Captain Marvel universe, you know where she comes from. this also takes us back to when everyone returned from the blip, as they referred to it. So that was strange to see.
Well, that first scene, so obviously in the hospital, that's probably one of my favorite scenes that's ever been done on the MCU. Like, what happens when everybody comes back from the blip, and they're basically coming back to normal life.
Yeah, because it's something that wasn't really discussed before. Like, people came back, and that was fantastic, but that showed the calamity that ensued. Obviously, we saw what happened and how things just changed and chaos was reigned when they disappeared. But it was kind of interesting seeing, like, the just onslaught of, like I said, calamity when they all returned. And I think it's something that none of us really thought about. I hadn't really thought about that, put too much stock in that. But like, she's returned and she's been gone for what, 3 years?
It's so, something like that.
As far as she remembered, she said, no, I fell asleep. No, I fell asleep.
Yeah, and then obviously you get all the chaos going on, and then, you know, somebody has to tell her again that her mother's died.
Yeah. And she's like, no, the doctor just said she's doing better. And they're like, that was 3 years ago. Your mother died. Like, it came back. She was better, but it came back. So now what has happened to the people before, like when she disappeared, how they had to look at her mother and be like, oh my God, this is what happened. She's gone. It's now taking place on the other hand. Like, very, I'm with you. It was a very well done scene. It's an excellent scene, and it kind of explains the other half of it that we never thought of when watching the blip actually take place. I mean, obviously new people came back, but we really didn't see how that affected overall, basically. So we then get to the point where we meet Jimmy Woo, who I love this character so much.
I fell in love with him as the show went on. And when we get to the end, I've got my own little thoughts and theories about him. But okay. it was great. It was good to see him back in this.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed introducing Jimmy Woo there. And he is trying to assist with this missing persons case in Westview, New Jersey. And with Monica. So they're trying to work on this, but that's when they discover this hexagonal static field. They had a name for it. My brain is eluding me.
I think they call it the hex, don't they?
They did, but it's like a cosmic microwaves, I think, or something. But the reason we see Monica coming out of it in episode 3 is because she actually has to go into it, doesn't she? Yeah, and that's what happens.
So when Monica gets there, there's also those two police officers there, and they can't see anything.
That's what's really strange, is because the viewer can see the sign for Westview, and they're like, yeah, you guys are crazy. There's not, I don't know what you're talking about. There is no Westview. So whatever has gone on to affect this city, which clearly we now know, we already know, the viewer, that it is Wanda, whatever is affecting inside, and it makes you like relive the guy saying no one can leave, it obviously has an effect on the outside too, because as you said, those police officers are like, you guys are crazy ones. There is no Westview. What are you talking about? And the sign is visibly right there.
It was like that thing in The Simpsons with Springfield and Shelbyville. It's like,
we don't talk about that. Like, you don't exist.
So basically then Monica like actually puts her hand through.
Yeah.
And like you say, they almost treat it like it. She's being microwaved at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, I looked up because I was like, I know it's called something. So they're cosmic. It's a cosmic microwave background. It's all part of the Big Bang. Yeah, you could look it up. But, and they, like you said, they call it the hex. But clearly you have to know that looking at this thing, if you touch it, something is probably going to happen. Oh, off topic. It literally just started snowing. Okay. That's a thing. Am I in the hex? What is going on? Well, that's a thing.
there's also the thing that we didn't mention, that the fact that obviously, like you say, Monica comes back to S.W.O.R.D. and she's got a new boss, and you know, if you know enough about the MCU, you know that trope of the dodgy boss that comes around every so often.
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, when she left, her mother had established S.W.O.R.D. We even see her photo on the wall, and they talk about, you know, your mother's passing and we really miss her. And now she used to be in charge, and now she's not in charge. And so it's a very odd dynamic, which I don't know. It was strange. And I knew at that moment, we got to watch this boss.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, like, has he sent her there deliberately? Like, you know, is he just made up that? Because he says something like, you know, she's not allowed to go into space and she's not allowed to fly, is she?
Right.
Because of the fact she's only just come back. I'm like, is that a thing, or has he just made that up just to keep her grounded?
Well, so from a military flight standpoint, I would say that if something like that happened, they probably would ground you temporarily. Because they don't know what is going on with you or how it has affected you emotionally, physically, and all of those things. So, yes, I do feel like a flight board would actually tell you you're grounded. But I think there's a little bit more sinister to it on his part. But, yeah, I do think realistically, that would be a thing. You would be probably told you're not cleared to be back in charge just yet. You're not cleared to fly. You're not cleared to do any of those things.
Yes. So once Monica is into the Hex, Jimmy gets the sword troops around. So they form a base, don't they? Around the yeah. town. So.
Drones and agents and everything, because Monica is actually very important and they want to know what happened. This is a weird phenomenon. So this is right up Sword's alley of what the heck is going on. And to me, this is when you get one of the other best characters of the show comes into play. Dr. Darcy Lewis.
Oh, Darcy. I love Darcy.
Yeah. She is actually from the comic books as well. She's a great character. And in this instance, we get Darcy, played by Kat Dennings, who I think is adorable. She's a great actress and perfect amount of snark for this character. Kat Dennings, that's what she's kind of known for, is that she's funny and she's friendly, but she's got snark like nobody else.
I never watched Two Broke Girls, but I love her in the first two Thor movies. And I was so glad to see her back, because like you say, she carries off that sort of snark, sarcastic humor, but also delivers like the science, and you know, that she moves the story like, so she's the one who actually discovers that it's a show within a show.
Yes. And she falls in love with it. Like, she's all about it. She loves Wanda and Vision, and she's like, oh, this is great. So, like, we're also watching her kind of binge watch and be in love with the show. At one point, doesn't she have, like, her snacks and everything, and she's just watching? Yeah. Like, she's just watching, like she's in love with it. And she's the one that studies the broadcast signals and realizes that the sitcom WandaVision is what's going on inside of there.
She's the one you see at the end of the episode with, you know, with the blurred face and all that.
So episode one, turning the TV off, watching the sitcom, the big meta that we refer to is actually Darcy watching the television show. And Darcy and Jimmy actually try to contact Wanda via the radio, which is the scene that we see in episode two, where she's having a conversation with Dottie by the pool, which very much scares her because she hears Wanda through the radio. So then we go back to a scene that we just mentioned from episode three, which is the confrontation between who we now know as Monica and Wanda, and her casting her back out of town. So we have to repeat that, because that's how we got episode four. So most of episode four is just outside the Hex. It is what is going on in the world of Monica, who she is, introducing you to Jimmy and Darcy, and explaining that, like, Sword is now on the case, and they are there to take care of everything. So she's cast back out. We watch this again. And Wanda then temporarily sees Vision appear as he did when he died, which kind of helps settle her back into her sitcom life and kind of, like, I guess at this point, take control again. So.
Yes. Well, I think this episode sort of answered a lot of the questions from the first three.
Right, like, so, what is going on? So who is these people? Who are some of these people?
What's the helicopter? What's the beekeeper all about? Mm-hmm. And you realize it's not a beekeeper. It's actually a guy in a hazmat suit, basically.
Exactly. He got sucked in as well. And the symbol. I guess if you didn't know the sword symbol before,
yeah, so it would explain. I, I, did, So I didn't know, like I said, I genuinely didn't. I kind of heard a sword, but I couldn't tell you what the symbol was. I could guess from the name it was a sword kind of thing.
Right.
But I couldn't tell you, like, that was pretty much my whole knowledge of that aspect of the MCU.
Oh, okay.
Like I say, I watched all the films, but like all the rest of the stuff, all the minutiae, no, that was
right.
That's nothing I've really ever got into.
So 5 and 6, I feel like, can kind of be explained together. They kind of all go together. And at this point, we have all of our main players going. And episode 5 is titled On a Very Special Episode. And episode 6 is All New Halloween Spooktacular, which I loved. So again, they're including things that you would talk about in normal television. We have moved again, and we are in an early 80s/90s setting. Very full house, Family Matters kind of set, or Who's the Boss, Family Matters, all of those in that era kind of house that you're now seeing, because the house is changing with them. And they're kind of struggling to stop Billy and Tommy from crying. And they're babies, they're growing rapidly. And here comes Agnes again, you know, that nosy neighbor that also likes to gossip a lot. And she offers to look after the boys. And this is when Vision starts kind of questioning her behavior. But Wanda has interrupted, interrupted at this point. Because again, I said they're rapidly growing. So now Billy and Tommy are suddenly, what, like 5?
They've shot up. They've had a growth spurt.
They've gone from crying babies that need Agnes to rock their cribs to they're like 5 years old, and no one seems to care about this except for Vision. He's questioning a little. part of the continuing plot that maybe what is important is not important. A dog appears. The boys beg to keep it. That's very on par with kids that age and kids in sitcoms. And Agnes then suggests the name Sparky. Wanda almost reveals abilities to Agnes at this point concerning Vision. And then the boys age up again, and they're now like 10. So things are going rapid, crazy here. Vision goes to work. He reads an email from Sword that reveals the situation in Westwood. Somehow he ends up getting this email. And he breaks through a real rescue resident. Okay, so this is when the rescue resident, for some reason I thought it was earlier in the season. So this is one of the residents, like, snaps out. Wanda, or yeah. Vision kind of, like, uses his power on him. And he snaps out. He's like, please make her stop. This hurts so bad. I just want to make this end. And that's when Vision is like, oh, crap. Wanda is doing all this. Why is she doing all of this? Because Vision does not know he's dead.
Vision just thinks he's just as normal as a synthetic robot can be, just a normal guy, going to work,
trying to fit in. Basically, they're done with that superhero stuff, and they're just trying to fit in.
They make the line in this episode as well about the fact that you don't see any other children in Westview.
Yes, that's when this becomes a thing. You're not seeing any other children.
It's only Billy and Tommy.
Right. Kind of leads into that's why I kind of wanted to do 5 and 6 together, is because it leads into 6, because then suddenly that's brought up. Oh, you see no other children. Do you notice you don't see any other children? 2 things happen. 1, Pietro arrives.
Yeah.
Who actually is played by Evan Peters. So he is the guy that played in the
Fantastic Four.
He was in the Fantastic Four franchise. The reason he was not in any of the actual MCU movies is, 1, he was contractually obligated. That's before Disney owned all of this stuff. He could not be a part of this because he was a part of this. They were 2 separate franchises at that point. And then you could have used the guy that actually played Pietro, not Peter, from Fantastic Four. But then the reason they didn't plays into the storyline that we're currently going across.
So did you think at this point that he was going to become something bigger than he ended up being?
I honestly did. I felt like that's what they were doing.
Because honestly, I so as I said, as as I said, I'll be honest, I've not seen the Fantastic Four movies. So when she's, I kind of figured something was going to happen with Pietro because they keep mentioning him. So I was thinking, are they going to have some sort of wacky dream sequence or are they going to bring him back? And it ended up that they bring him back. And obviously from the earlier MCU films, I knew this wasn't the guy who played Pietro.
Well, Darcy originally even makes a comment about it. She's like, oh, wait, he's been recast.
Yeah. And then, like I say, I went on Twitter, listened to the Pop Goes to the Couch pod, and they were losing their mind because it's Evan Peters from the Fantastic Four movies. I was like,
yeah,
all right, okay, so this is going to be something.
Yeah, and it still kind of was in a way. So
yes,
he just kind of right.
offers not the way everybody thought he was going to be.
Yeah. Oh no, not even in the way that I thought he was going to be. But then we go into Halloween, which now we're starting to see children. So we had the comment of there are no children, and now we're starting to see them. This is basically their first Halloween together as a family, and it's the boys' first Halloween, but they're like 10, 11. And we're now in more of like a Malcolm in the Middle setting. So we're in like late 90s, early 2000s. I love this kind of intro, even though Malcolm in the Middle was not one of my favorites. I had like hit or miss episodes that I thought were funny. Overall, didn't care for it. But I really liked that and how they were bringing all of these comfort shows, basically different people's comfort shows, into this. So we get the really funny, like Vision and Wanda are dressed up, and she calls herself a Sokovian fortune teller, which it's actually the original Scarlet Witch costume. Funny, haha. And they decide. Vision tells her, no, he's going to patrol the streets with the neighborhood watch, because he's really, really questioning things. And he's doing this because he's very confused. So he's trying to figure things out. Pietro offers to be like uncle, father figure, and take the boys trick-or-treating and basically cause mischief. And this is when we discover that the boys have powers too, which we figured was going to happen. So while investigating, he sees further out, like as you go further away from the center of Westview, there are people just frozen in their positions. Like he tries to talk to people and they're just standing there doing nothing. This includes Agnes.
There was that one woman, and that was another, probably one of the most creepiest scenes. That one woman when she's just doing the hanging clothes motion.
Yes.
That's all she's doing.
Yeah. And then there's one, I don't remember what the other one he tries to talk to, but she's literally just standing there holding something, like she's not even moving.
Yeah.
That was very, very odd, very strange. And I give huge props and shout outs to the extras and actors that played those spots, because their faces were so frozen, but yet terrified in their menial tasks that they were stuck in when things changed, basically.
Definitely.
It's like they're living in super slow motion, basically, is what I kind of felt. He even comes across Agnes, who is frozen in her position in her car. And she comes undone for a second, or he zaps her and asks questions. And she kind of does the same thing that the guy in the office did. He talks about how she's like, I can't leave. I keep turning. I forget my way. Different comments like that. So, again, this is when we really realize that you can't go. You can't leave. We saw Monica leave, but obviously that was very painful, right?
Well, I think this was the point. Obviously 6 episodes in, where you kind of figured out that Agnes was going to be the main supporting character of the whole show.
Yeah.
Monica and others had sort of come and gone, but Agnes had been the one constant with Wanda throughout every episode.
Yes. Like, everybody thought Dottie was going to be big, but, like, we actually have only seen her a handful of times. Agnes is consistently in every episode, just like Wanda and Vision. And as we move forward, Jimmy and Monica and Darcy. So this is when people started forming their theory of who Agnes was. And that theory was that she was Agatha Harkness, who in the comics is actually Wanda's teacher. And she dates all the way back to, her powers come all the way back from like the Salem Witch Trials. She's actually a pretty interesting character. She's not in very many comics from what I remember, and she's in a lot of older ones. But that at this point is the theory of who Agnes is. So we go back outside, the Hex outside of Westwood. And this is when Hayward orders Monica, Darcy, and Jimmy to leave the base because they don't agree with his decision. He wants to attack Wanda, and he wants to get inside. Now, Hayward has made us think that Wanda stormed Sword, took Vision, and basically attacked Sword. That's what we believe right now.
Yeah, so this is sort of the point where Hayward sort of, like I said earlier, it's a bit of a tired MCU trope, isn't it? The person in charge actually isn't a nice guy. They've done it in at least three films that I know of, off the top of my head.
Right. So we kind of get the feeling here that I didn't feel lied to yet, but I felt like he was untrustworthy. That's exactly what they... Yeah, I didn't feel necessarily that he was lying, but I felt like he was very untrustworthy. They hack into his computer to discover he's been actually tracking Vision's vibranium signature. Vision comes to the wall, finds the wall, tries to push through the wall, but he doesn't know that he's dead. And that's the moment where we realize, oh, he really is dead, and he starts to disintegrate. Thanks to the children's powers, Billy senses this. He tells Wanda she uses all of her energy, and this is when we actually see that this is her controlling it for sure, and she pushes the wall out further. But during this scene, there is actually a confrontation between her and Pietro, where he makes some comments. He talks about, he makes mention to what people thought were going to be a few other mutants. He talks about, you know, like, when we were at school, do you remember, blah, blah, blah. And then he makes a really bad joke about Vision and Vision being dead. And
you don't think he's been dead for a second time or whatever. I think it's something like that.
And this is when she's obviously grilling him because she is questioning who he is and why he's there and where he came from. So this now causes Wanda to push out the borders of the Hex. And at this point, Vision is sucked back into the Hex, and Darcy and multiple Sword agents, what I thought were hysterical, when it sucks them in, it changes the compound to, like, a circus, basically.
Well, you know, if it's going to change it into anything, it's going to be a circus. Mm-hmm. But I thought the Pietro bit was really good, because obviously, like you said, in the previous episode, they'd established the fact that he'd been recast, so he'd... But it was obviously like, you know, like you say, was he working for somebody? Because if it was a normal brother, you know, you wouldn't say a line like that.
Right, exactly. So then we obviously come to the last three episodes, which I think can be summed up together just like the previous two were. We have Breaking the Fourth Wall, which we're literally, we've already done it, literally. But now she's going to do it in the figuratively sense. Previously On, which I had to look back because I thought they had used Previously On. I was wrong. And then, of course, the series finale titled The Series Finale. We're still in that mid to late 2000s setting. And Wanda has decided to give herself like a free day. And this is when we come to the trope kind of like Modern Family does, where they talk to the camera like they're being interviewed in between things.
Yeah, but it's that documentary style, isn't it? So like, say, Modern Family, The Office, Parks and Rec, it was all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So this is happening, and this is what they refer to as Breaking the Fourth Wall, which I thought was really fun. I like how they're still moving forward. Vision at this point wakes up to find Sword agents inside the boundary are now members of the circus. So he realizes, wait, this, what's going on? He even tries to talk to one of them and is like, did you see or have you done? He comes across Darcy, who helps him escape. He releases Darcy from the spell until she tells Vision everything. They're like, I'm really sorry, but you died. These are the events that have gone up to the current situation. Of course, Darcy only tells what she knows. So there's way more to it than what Darcy explains to Vision. This is when she explains everything. And then they're going back. We're going back and forth at this point. Outside Westview, inside Westview. And everybody's literally like right outside Westview. So it's either in the Hex or out of the Hex at this point. And Monica and Jimmy are still trying to get back in because Monica's determined she's going back in.
Yeah.
they are hiding from Director Haywood because obviously they realize he is not to be trusted. They've met with a few loyals to her and her mother, S.W.O.R.D. personnel, and they have obtained vehicle to try to cross the barrier. It does not work. Like, horribly. They're like, oh yeah, this is like the best material you can get. This walks on like the moon, blah, blah.
Yeah, I love this scene.
Yeah, it does not work. So she just decides she's going to just go herself. And they've already told her, coming through the barrier, in and out of the barrier, like she has already altered her DNA. It's already caused changes, caused problems. Which I, my opinion is it's alluding to her possibly taking over and becoming the superhero that she was known to be in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, I keep making reference to the fact I don't really, you know, follow the comic books, but at that point, you knew, because I think they said something like, you know, you've already been through it twice, you can't go through it a third time, otherwise, you know, you're permanently going to be changed, and you knew that was going to be leading somewhere for her, where, like you say, she's going to get some superhero powers going.
Right. You know it's going somewhere, because anytime that happens to somebody in these shows, that's what happens, or movies, books, whatever.
Don't do this, I'm going to do this.
So Monica comes back in, she makes it in. Her whole point is to let Wanda know, like, I'm on your side, let me help you. And Wanda is angry. We know this. And she tells her no. She basically, like, pushes her away. What was that?
I said she's not a happy lady at this stage.
She's not. But, I mean, consider everything she's gone through. She's not very, very happy. She pushes Monica away, like with powers, makes her leave, go away. No, I don't need your help. And this is when she comes back in, thinking she's going to protect her boys, you know, and she can't find them. And this is when Agnes reveals herself to what everybody believed was correct, which is to be Agatha Harkness. And she has been disrupting Wanda's life, including she sent the imposter Pietro, and she sadly is the one that apparently did kill Sparky.
And gave the world the greatest earworm in the history of music.
It was Agatha all along. Yes.
I was singing that for days.
Right? It was amazing. It was very good, very catchy, fantastic. And so when we move forward to previously on, we obviously know who Agatha is now. So they're going to explain to you who Agatha is for people that didn't know, or to give her backstory, because even if you did know who she is, she deserves her backstory. And it does appear in Salem in 1693. It's the Coven of Witches led by her mother. And they're going to kill her for practicing dark magic. But she ends up draining their life, and you see before you her becoming what she is. Agatha wants to know desperately how Wanda is controlling Westview. And that's when we learn, where she's like, I don't know. And she sends Wanda basically through these tasks, these mental tasks, if you will. It makes her relive things of her life to figure out when she had abilities, when she got them, when they were amplified, and exactly what in her life caused this to happen. We do learn that her powers were always there. As they talk about the attack on her family when she was very young, and how somehow her and her brother survived for days when they shouldn't have been able to. We discovered that as a child, or teenager rather, her abilities were amplified by the Mind Stone, which led my husband and I into this whole theory of, because she had an attraction to the Mind Stone then, even though she loved Vision for him, do you think that that brought them, like, closer together? Do you think that it made them attracted to each other?
Well,
already had that pull to it.
Well, I think this episode was actually like the most emotional episode of the bunch.
Oh, you know, for the whole, sure.
the whole thing of like Agatha taking Wanda all through, you know, through these events in her life that have basically shaped her and formed her into the person she is.
So, you know, I cried really hard in this one. I won't lie.
You get the whole death of her parents. You know, when she's held captive by S.H.I.E.L.D. and like you say, the first time her and Vision are, well, we don't know whether they end up having, you know, they're intimate, but that first time where they're at the very least,
they have talking. A huge connection.
Yes, that first time you get that connection between the two of them,
which is after her brother Pietro has died.
Yes.
And she's just battered and beaten down, and her whole life, you see, at this point, has been kind of horrible.
And it's also this episode, and it's also that scene and the scene before with the parents, where you realize the love that the love Wanda has for sitcoms, and that's where the whole sitcom trope comes in.
Yeah.
Because she's got, like you say, she's got copies of Bewitched, she's got copies of Full House, she's got copies of Malcolm in the Middle, and that's all she wants.
Van Dyke and things like that, that her father, I think he was a salesman and he was trying to sell them, and when they didn't sell, he would bring them home and they would watch them together as a family. And they were attacked during this, and she had the Dick Van Dyke Show was her favorite, that brings her comfort. So that's why when she's created this universe, in her mind, is the perfect world, is these sitcoms where things are funny, but it always turns out well, and everybody is fine, and everybody's together.
I keep coming up. That 2.4 children family, you know, that, and that's the theme, isn't it, through it, is the sitcoms, obviously, she picks are... And the sitcoms they pastiche are family based sitcoms, so you know, like Bewitched, like Modern Family, like Malcolm in the Middle. You know, they don't go for something like Friends. They go for things that are set in that family environment.
Right. Which I thought was really cool, and it fits in. And now you understand why, and it explains it why. At the moment, I lost it. So we do after the blip. So the blip has happened. We're going back to that. Wanda visits S.W.O.R.D. to recover Vision's body, but Hayward refuses to let her bury him. So he does let her down to him, though. And it's at this point that she goes to touch him, to have that one last final connection with him, and she realizes that he's not there. There's nothing left of him. So she leaves, because that's when we find out why Westview is important. And it's that Vision had purchased a lot that was where a house used to sit, and he bought it before his death so that they could live together happily, as like a real family. And so she drives there. So she does not steal Vision. She does not explode S.W.O.R.D., which Hayward led everyone to believe. She simply leaves. And goes to this lot in Westview. And this is the moment where I cried hard. Because all of her emotion poured out. And there you see the birth of the house, the hex, Vision, everything.
It was that thing of, like, you could tell this is where she wanted to retire. You know, she was almost like retiring from the superhero game. And this is where they were going to go and live their life. And because of Vision's, you know, because of Vision's death, and that's all been taken away from her, basically. She wants that life. She wants that life that she can't ever have.
Right. Which basically now explains all of this, and makes you understand. And it made me super emotional. But it's at this point Agatha goes, ah, that was it. And we stop putting her through this mind meld mental aggravation, or I not even aggravation, torture, basically. And Wanda looks at her and is like, or Agatha looks at Wanda and says, I have figured it out. I know what it is. You are a Scarlet Witch. And my mind blew at this moment, because I was like, we already knew that.
Well, I was going to say, even I know who the Scarlet Witch is.
But my husband goes, that's right. They have never referred to her on screen as Scarlet Witch in anything in the MCU.
No, she's always been. She's in always the credits, been.
Yeah, in the credits, It is Scarlet Witch. But never, she's always just Wanda. Wanda Maximoff. And at that moment, I went, I was like, everybody knows that. I've been rocking like the same Scarlet Witch shirts for years. And Jerry was like, no, they never actually called her that.
Yeah, she's always been Wanda. She's never, I don't even think Vision's referred to her as a Scarlet Witch before.
No one has, and somehow I did not pick up on that. Never even noticed it. She's just always been Scarlet Witch. Always. So yeah, this is the first time in the MCU she's actually referred to as Scarlet Witch.
Something else that I just wanted to mention that we didn't talk about in the last episode, and it sort of ties in here. So the whole reason this can go on, this sort of, Agatha and Wanda going through, is basically because everybody else has been like distracted or even kidnapped, haven't they? Wanda keeps putting up these literal physical barriers for Darcy and Vision, yeah. so they can't get to it.
Because she doesn't want to deal with Vision right now. He's realized what everything is, and she knows this, and she can't handle it. Mentally, she cannot handle it. So she's decided, she doesn't know that she's keeping Darcy from coming, but because she doesn't know about her yet, but she is keeping Darcy and Vision both from being able to, and that's hysterical. Like, the Darcy, they're in the middle of nowhere at like this four-way stop, and Darcy's like, oh, come on, the kids cross here, where's the school?
And then we get the first post-credit scene as well, where obviously we know Monica's back. So we find Monica's back in Westview, and she gets to the house, but Pietro kidnaps her, basically.
And then
we realize that Pietro is not who we think he is.
He is definitely not who we think he is. And then we get another mid-credit scene right after this one, where the Vision, just the Vision, not Vision, is now all white, and he has been reassembled and is activated by S.W.O.R.D.
We've got Vision and we've got white Vision. It gets very
interesting. Yeah. So that kind of leads us to our series finale, where Agatha attempts to take Wanda's chaos magic, which we kind of knew was coming since she took everybody else's magic back in 1693. but she's interrupted by the Vision, our white Vision, who basically tries to kill Wanda because Hayward now is just like, no, she's a terrorist and she's a bad, we got to take her out. So Hayward's decided to take Wanda out, and he's going to use the Vision to do it. But this is when our actual Vision, or her Vision, intervenes and comes in, and they fight throughout Westview, and I thought it was amazing. They're, like, kicking each other's butts and back and forth, and they're just as powerful as the other one, and it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'd obviously seen the episode, and I saw some a fair bit of criticism afterwards, but I was like, but we haven't had like an episode with a big fight scene yet. So this was all building up to be a big fight scene. It's a superhero TV program, and we haven't had this clash yet.
Which I think the reason we hadn't is she didn't really want to use her powers. She wanted to, well, she did, creating the hex, but then she was done.
Yeah.
She was done. But at this point, Agatha makes her realize what she's been doing. She pleads for her to, let Wanda or have Wanda let these people free. Look what you've done. So she convinces her to open the barrier. And this kind of is kind of when all the chaos ensues. People of Westview hate her. They open the barrier. She stops, though, when Vision and the twins begin to disintegrate, because she's like, crap, if I open the barrier, then I have to let them go. So then she stops opening the barrier.
She realizes basically like it's either the people in the town or my family.
Right. I can't have both. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she doesn't close it in time, though, before Hayward's men and S.W.O.R.D. can enter. Monica, at this point, frees Pietro because she realizes, oh, he's under my control, too. She actually is like, he's an actor. He doesn't even know what's going on. So she frees him. He's some actor named Ralph Bonner. He is under Agatha's control. He's like, what? And then she comes to help as well. And she helps the twins stop S.W.O.R.D. So Vision and Vision are having an intense moment at this time as well, like a big fight scene, as you mentioned. But at a certain point, they actually stop. And her vision restores the Vision's memories, because if you think about it, they are still one in the same.
Yes.
They are still one in the same because they are still what they are. And he restores his memories. And that's when the Vision, the white Vision, is like, wait, what? It's what? And he kind of takes off, which I think will come into play later.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. So this is when, you know, Wanda's like, fine, take my power to Agatha. She has an ulterior motive, though, because Agatha did teach her something very important a couple of episodes ago, and that is runes in creating a barrier in an area that it belongs to a specific witch means that no other witch has power in that area, and they can control
them. The person who casts the runes is the only one who can cast a spell.
Exactly. So when Agatha thinks Wanda is giving up her power to her, she's actually making runes on the hex, preventing Agatha to do anything. And therefore, she basically traps her as Agnes and tells her one of my favorite things of the whole series. And she's like, you wanted to be a nosy neighbor? You got it. That's what you are now stuck as a nosy neighbor.
I'm so glad they didn't kill her off. They're obviously going to use her in other films. Right. You know, Wanda will be coming back to her at some point.
Oh, for sure. Because she was her teacher in the comics, I feel like that's going to come back up. I would love for that to come back up. I think it also is kind of bringing us into one of my other favorite parts of the MCU that we see more of in the post-credit scene as well. But it's at this point, Wanda, I think, realizes that she has to say goodbye to Vision and the twins. She has to let these people go. She has to make everything kind of go back to what it was. She can't do this to these people. She can't do this to this town anymore. And that's when she decides that, like, yes, I need to allow them to have it, but I need my moment too. And I think the saddest thing is, and I was crying again, and my son was even crying, because you know when they're putting them in bed, Vision already knows, like, we have to give this up. He can't do this. But she actually says goodbye. And instead of having it torn away from her, which is what's been tried to do a couple of times, she has a moment basically where she feels it's like she's allowing herself to actually grieve. And she allows the hex to collapse. And Vision and the twins go. This time it's not horribly, though. They're not like, you know.
That scene was heartbreaking. But, you know, I was so glad that, like, I know this is going to sound horrible, but she didn't, like, Wanda didn't have a happy ending. There was consequences for her actions.
Yes, exactly. And that's, I think that's what she realized, is she didn't want to be the bad guy, but then she was like, I don't care if I'm the bad guy, because I deserve a happy ending too.
Yeah, I've got my husband and kids, and I don't care about anybody else.
Like, I don't care. But I think she realized, like, oh, I'm keeping other people from their families, and I know how bad this hurts, and I can't do that to them anymore. I've got to, because, like, I think the lady, the character, when they all got released from basically the hold, even the one character, I think, played by Deborah Rupp, even talks about, like, I don't know where my family is. I haven't seen them. I can't. Please let me have my family. Just let me have them back. And I think that really is what does it. That's when she's like, ooh.
Because then we get the Dottie bit, don't we? Where she says, I'm Sarah, and I'd really like a bigger part in the show, sort of thing.
Right.
And then Wanda's like, but this isn't the show. This is my life.
Right. This is my life. Like, yeah. So she lets it all go, and it's very cathartic for her, I think. But I think she realizes that she's got a lot more that she can do, and there's ways that she can grieve and go through this. So we get two scenes now. So the show is over. Our mid-series has ended. People are like, where's season two? As far as I know, there is not a season two, but that does not mean that they won't do one.
It doesn't need a series two.
It doesn't need.
It could be a one and two, because I said. So I know you're gonna go into the end scenes, but like I say, it sort of splits things off in about three or four different directions. So you've got
to now open it up.
you've got where Wanda's going into the, you've got where Wanda's going. You've got where Monica's going. Like I said, I'd love to see a show, and I know I've seen it online, and I had the idea before I saw it online. I'd love to see like an X-Files style show with Jimmy Woo and Darcy. Yeah. That could be a Disney Plus show, easy.
Oh, for sure. So, but we obviously know something is coming out of all this. Like, we're not, yes. Like, yes, this series may be over, because it was a mini-series. It was always listed as a mini-series. So this series may be over, but we know we're coming into something. One, we get two scenes this time. Hayward is obviously arrested. Monica, however, is pulled to the side by a friend of her mother's who reveals themselves to be a Skrull, and says that someone wants to meet you. And we rewound it because we were like, who? They don't say. They just say he. So you can leave that up to your imagination. There's like a lot of options there of who would want to meet her. But obviously, we are taken to the skies. We are going into the universe for Monica to meet this friend of her mother's. And then we get another post-credit scene.
She's very happy about it, though, isn't she? So it's not a bad meet.
No, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We're not being sent to somewhere where this is like, oh, crap. Like, this is a good thing. And Wanda gets a good thing, too. So then we go to this secluded little cabin where Wanda is actually studying in her astral form. We see her hanging out drinking coffee on her front porch. But in her astral form, in the back room, she's studying the Darkhold or the Book of Sins, which actually leads us to be like, wait, Strange is coming.
Yeah. Obviously, I've seen some of the interviews she's done, Elizabeth Olsen has done on some of the late night TV shows. So she was quite open and honest about the fact that she was in London filming Doctor Strange. So you knew this was where it was going.
Well, yeah.
And you've got that whole thing as well when she's in the astral form as well, where you can hear the kids' voices.
Yeah, so the kids are calling for help.
They're obviously still around in some form somewhere.
Right. Which is really, really cool. So there's your whole mini series. We really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Ben, I know you had a few extra thoughts that you really wanted to give to the good people about the series as a whole. So what did you kind of like as a whole? What was it that you really took away from all of this?
The thing I took away from it is it was like I said, so at the beginning, because I had my one idea of where I thought it was going to be, and then it went totally in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was something very sort of MCU like, because MCU's quite light and frothy at times, and this ain't light and frothy.
Right.
You know, like I say, you know, this ends literally with a woman, you know, losing her husband and kids. That's how it ends.
Right.
The other thing I want to say is, you know, I know that, you know, the Emmys and the Golden Globes, they're quite snobby to these kind of programs, but if Elizabeth Olsen and Catherine Han do not at least get nominated for an award, then something has gone badly wrong, because they're spectacular.
It was fantastic. Phenomenal.
So I'm so glad in particular for Catherine Han, because I'm a big Transparent fan. I loved her in Parks and Rec and on Bad Mums as well. So I'm so glad that she's getting all the props she's getting at the moment.
Yeah.
It's so well deserved.
And then
there's the other thing. Like we alluded to at the beginning of the show, because, you know, these episodes were only dropping one at a time. It was great to go back to that good old fashioned thing of anticipating a TV show.
Yes.
You don't get that with Netflix. Netflix is just more of a curiosity thing, I think, where somebody will say, oh, have you seen this? You need to watch this, you know, binge on this. It was like they were dripping it to you.
There's something to be said about binging that I do love, but I also agree with you in the stance that there's something about, like, we had to wait every week. So we actually turned it into a thing, and every Friday night we made dinner. We started, like, making one of Caden's favorite dinners every Friday night, and we watched WandaVision, and that's what we did, and I thought it was really cool to go back to that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying binging is bad, by the way.
Oh, I know that.
I love binging as well, but there was just something great and old fashioned about just waiting for that show on a Friday, like you say, to come out.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think it was phenomenal as well.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, maybe at another time when, you know, one of our proper episodes, we could sort of go into the whole, you know, binging versus drip feeding thing. But like, it was just so good and so refreshing just to have you know, just something to look forward to on a Friday, you know.
Right.
Whether it is these quote unquote hot times that we're going through, but that sort of just heightened the anticipation.
Well, I think the good people can have that coming up with starting this week. Not this week as in when we're recording, Falcon and Winter Soldier, so you could continue your slow drip into the MCU every week. And maybe we'll be back around for Falcon and Winter Soldier. But always, you can find us in a multitude of places. We have a TellyNT Instagram page we would love for you guys to follow. Of course, you can follow pretty much anyone from Place to Be Nation over in our Place to Be Nation group, where we chat about a multitude of things, silly things, serious things, all things. And Ben and I are both in there, as well as the rest of the crew. Of course, Ben and I are both all over Place to Be Nation, as well as I think you're even on the other feed, right? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I do a few wrestling pods. So, and then you got to be on them, you got to be here with you, and then hopefully we've also got our new pod, if Andy accepts it. We've set a pilot episode where we're going to be live watching some bad guilty pleasure movies. That's where we're going with it.
Awesome. Well, check all of those out, of course, as well as the Geek and Sassy over on Ginny Position. So you have Place to Be Nation Experience. There's North-South Connection and the Ginny Position. All fantastic shows. And we will be back with 24, as promised, for sure. But look forward to more little afternoon tea crumpets here with us as well. And we'll see you next time.